this is DJ Detour, and this is my show, Behind the Bit, where I will teach you everything you never needed to know about horses. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Today, I'm going to talk to you about horse sense, training, horse health, and current equine news. I have been riding horses for 17 years now. I started riding when I was about 4 years old. And about 7 years ago, I started vaulting, which is a gymnastics and dance on a moving horse. And today, for my first segment, Horse Sense, I want to talk to you guys about evolution. So horses have been on the earth for about 50 million years now. They originated in tropical forests, and they are ancestors of tarpeys and also of rhinoceroses, which is something I would never have guessed. And the three things I want to talk to you about evolution are the horse's teeth, legs, size, and also their personality. So originally, horses' teeth were much shorter and smaller than they are now, which had a lot to do with the fact that they were a lot smaller than they are today. Horses about 50 million years ago were about 0.4 meters tall, and today they're a meter and a half tall or taller, depending on the breed of the horse. They also walked on spread toes, unlike they do now. Now horses have a single hoof. They do have remnants of what their third toe would have been, which is called the chestnut, and it's on the inside of their legs. As they adapted, they needed longer legs to be able to run from predators, which is why they have the single hoof now. The two other toes, as the one toe grew longer, the other toes receded up, and that's like what I had said about the chestnut. That's the remnant of one of them. Their limbs also lengthened, which is why they're a lot taller now, so they could run from predators. They also adapted to be able to live on drier land, unlike the tropical forest that they originated in. And with this, their teeth are longer now and flatter than they used to be to adapt to the different diet that they have on dry land. Horses today have a very complicated digestive system and eat about ideally 18 to 20 hours per day. Horses are herbivores. Ideally, they graze in pastures, although sometimes pastures are too rich or they're not able to because of weather conditions and there's nothing to graze on. Like right now, we haven't had any rain, so there's nothing growing out in the pastures, so in this case, we feed our horses hay today. And horses' personalities are also a big part of who they are today. They originated as herd animals, and they still are today. And if you watch a herd of horses, you will be able to see that they have, I call it the totem pole in the pasture, but they have a hierarchy. There are certain horses that are the big guys in charge, and they'll be the ones who eat first, the ones who drink water first. The ones who, if a new horse comes into the pasture, they're going to go and interact with that horse first. And that obviously originates from when they first existed, they are still herd animals today. And that can definitely throw off a lot of things. If you have a horse out in a pasture and they're the low guy on the totem pole, they're not going to get a lot of food, which can potentially be a problem. And then you have to give them extra grains and other hay to supplement their diet. And the personality of horses also has a lot to do with training, which I will talk about in my next segment. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
I'll play your favorite song, darling. We can rock it all night long, darling. 'Cause I'm down love, darling. Love, sweet love, darling. While the mood has got me, so let the music rock. I've got love, darling. Love, sweet love, darling. Quiet is the night. Please turn off your light. I'll play your favorite song, darling. We can rock it all night long. The hammer, why the iron is such a strike? The hammer, why the iron is such now? Open up your heart, open up your heart. Let love come running in, darling. Love, sweet love. I've got love, darling.
Hi, I'm DJ Detour, and we are back with my show Behind the Bit for our second section training, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. So I'm going to talk about a few things about training. First is the personality of our equine friends. Second would be ground manners, and the second and the third are intertwined. The third is natural horsemanship. So all horses have very different personalities, and being around them for so long, I've definitely learned how to adapt to different horses because they're all different just like we are. Because I know my horse is like an 1,100 pound lap animal, but I've dealt with lots of them that if they don't have to deal with people, they would much rather it be that way. So for ground manners, it's one of the most important things to me because I figure you can't do anything on top of them unless you can control them on the ground. And I really learned a lot about natural horsemanship and ground manners with my first horse, who was I got her when I was in about sixth grade, and she is an Arabian standard bred, which is also called an all-American show horse. And for those of you who don't know a lot about those two breeds, they are very hot-headed, hyper excited, in your face, just all, they're all over the place. And she had been out in a pasture for about 10 years and had decided she didn't really want to deal with people anymore. She's very sweet, but she wasn't into the whole you're going to get on my back and ride me thing. So I started with her from the ground and working with her, figuring out, you know, what she would allow me to do, what, you know, and vice versa. So we did a lot of work in the round pen with her, and a lot of it too is earning each other's trust, because I don't have a whole lot unless my horse trusts me, and I obviously have to trust them back because, you know, big animal. We don't want them to not like us or anything, or not trust us and get along with us if they're our horse. So every day I was in the round pen with her, half an hour would be the very shortest I was ever out there with her. And what you do in a round pen with horses when you're working on ground manners is you're essentially trying to teach, well, not teach the horse, but show the horse that you are a part of their herd. And you're not only a part of their herd, but you are the one who's in charge of the herd, because you don't want your horse to be in charge of you. They do. So they really do teach you a lot. So when you're in a round pen with a horse, it's a round circular pen, and you put your horse out there. Some people do it on a lunge line, which is on a about 30-foot line connected to your horse's halter. I do not. And you essentially are, you know, if you've ever seen a cattle dog herding sheep or cows, you're essentially doing a similar thing with your horse, and you want your horse to react in a certain way, which would be the same way that they would react to another horse out in the pasture who is doing the same thing. And this, like I had said, takes a long time to earn the trust from your horse and for them to earn the trust from you. And certain horses are much easier to trust than others. I also had a friend's horse who was in a stall, which for horses is very unnatural. They're used to being in large spaces where they can move around and interact with other horses, and you know, horses also learn a lot from each other. So he was in a stall, and he was young. He's about 4 years old, and he was great when you rode him. She would ride him probably every day, I think she was riding him. And he was fantastic. But on the ground, he was a terrible nightmare. And it was, you know, it was scary. So I was helping her out and worked with him in the round pen for a really long time. And with him, I did not trust him, obviously, in the same way that I trust my horse, who I've worked with for many, many years. You know, he would lunge at you, try to kick you, bite you. All the unpleasant things that people think about horses, they think they do these things all the time. But I worked with him for a long time, and we decided we were going to move him into a pasture because we had discussed, me and my friend and I had discussed, it was probably a better idea for him. And it turns out that what he needed, rather than a person working with him and showing him, I'm the leader of this quote unquote herd, he needed another horse to teach him. So he went out in the pasture. It happened to be with my horse and two other horses who kicked his butt, to say the least. Didn't let him drink water, eat food for 2 days because he had no manners. And it was black and white. He was another horse after that. And it was amazing to see that kind of a transformation. And that's really natural horsemanship there. So back to personalities of horses. Personality of horses definitely varies a lot with age, although not always, because my first horse that I had talked about earlier in this segment, she was 19 years old and acted like a 3-year-old horse and was quite amazing how young everyone thought she was. But generally speaking, older horses are going to be a lot calmer than younger horses are. But even outside of that, there's a lot of horses, just like dogs or any other animal, that are more affectionate towards humans or more affectionate towards other animals. And they have issues with other horses. Some horses do not get along and make that very apparent to everyone. But in a herd setting, you can definitely see horses that don't get along usually don't get along with the rest of the herd. And there will be some that are outcasts and not included, I guess you could say, in everything. So for the ground manners, I would definitely say that that is one of the most important things and one of the most valuable things I've learned as an equestrian for 17 years, and that it is definitely a skill that I use before any other skill I use with horses. And there's also some things that you could tie into ground manners that help us humans kind of decode our animals. Horses will lay their ears flat back to their head when they're upset. They will flick their tail to get things away from them, but also to other horses and to humans as a warning, like, hey, I might kick you in a second, and you're not going to like it. It's not going to feel too good. You can also watch, like, when you have your horse in a round pen and you're doing natural horsemanship with them, horses will lower their heads and will chew their mouth, even if there's nothing in there. And sometimes they'll even start slobbering as a sign of submission. They will also flicker their inside ear because they're listening to you, or whatever ear is closest to you. Another thing that in natural horsemanship is, it's really cool to me, and it's the moment of success when you are working with your horse in the round pen, is after you're done working with your horse, and what you do is you turn your back to your horse, not completely, so you can still see them. You don't want them to do anything crazy and you don't want to get hurt. But they, if you have done your job correctly and if they have reacted in the way that you want them to, they will walk up behind you and they'll follow you around like a little puppy dog. And it's one of the greatest feelings because they are telling you, okay, you are in charge of my herd and I feel safe with you. And it is a wonderful feeling of success. All right. So I have talked about the training of horses, their personality, ground manners, and natural horsemanship. So that's going to tie it up for this segment. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back. This is DJ Detour with my show Behind the Bit on radio.dominican.edu. For this segment, Horse Health, Today, I would like to talk to you about PMU mares. For those of you who don't know, PMU, well, a mare is a female horse, and PMU stands for pregnant mare urine. And this is an issue that I think is very important, and I don't think a lot of people know too much about it. So, if anyone has heard of the female hormone replacement drug called Premarin, it is made from the urine of pregnant female horses. And the horses that, the way that the urine from the pregnant mares is harvested is a really inhumane process. And in my opinion, should not be used anymore, especially because now we have a lot of plant-based and synthetic-based hormones that in studies have shown to do the same thing as the hormones from the PMU mares, the Premarin, or there's some other generic names for it as well. So you're by using a synthetic or a plant-based alternative, you are not yourself missing out on any of the benefits. The drawbacks are almost identical. So that's what I would advise to begin with. But PMU mares are usually horses that are purchased from auctions, and there's thousands of PMU facilities in the United States that are operating today. And what they do is they have an indoor facility and an outdoor facility. And the indoor facility is where the urine is harvested from the female pregnant mares. And it is only harvested in the last 6 weeks of their pregnancy, and horses are pregnant for 11 months. So for the beginning of their pregnancy, they're kept outside in small areas that are not kept to standards that I would consider humane. A lot of times they'll be past their ankles in mud on the inside facility and the outside facility. And during horses to PMU facilities are valuable for about 11 or 12 years, which they are kept pregnant the entire time they are at the facility, which is insane and screws up everything in the poor horse's body. And after that, they are of no use to the facility, and they will go to slaughter, to auctions. Essentially, they usually do not go to good places after that. I know I have a couple of friends at one of the barns that I have my horse at, and there are people there who have PMU rescue mares. A lot of them with some weird things wrong with them. They're all freeze branded on their shoulder or on their neck when they are at the facility. They are identified by their number. A friend of mine, I think, has mare number 23, who is a great horse, and it's sad to think she ever had to go through all of that. So when they're at the facility and they're indoors, they are kept in what are called tie stalls, and they're stalls where the horse can't walk forward, can't walk backward, and can hardly move from side to side, because they are so tight in there, and they don't, the people who are in charge of the facility are so worried that any of the urine could spill, which is why they're kept like that. And they are usually withheld water while they're in the facility as well, so that the urine will be more concentrated. And you might be wondering what happens to the babies. When they have their foals, I saw a statistic that said 90% of colts, which are the boy babies, go directly to auctions, which usually, sadly, are bought by slaughter. And it's unfortunate, but that's what usually happens. For the Phillies, they have about a 40% chance of staying at the facility and being brought up to be a PMU mare. And when that happens, usually the fillies are impregnated when they are at about 2 years old, and most horses grow until they're 3 years old. Belgians, which is one breed that they actually do use at PMU facilities a lot, which is a draft breed, and they love lots of draft breeds because they produce more urine because they're bigger animals. They grow until they're about 6 years old, so you can imagine how that would create problems in their bones and joints by being impregnated before they're done growing. My vaulting team actually has a filly that was from a PMU facility, and we love her to pieces, and I could not imagine not having her. So it's very sad to think that a lot of these horses don't go to better homes. So the other 60% of the fillies that are born, which are the female babies, go with the colts to the auction facilities as well. And the horses that are at the facility are all artificially inseminated, so there's no other stallions or other male horses involved, which also, when the horses are out in the outdoor facility, messes up their herd and the way that things are usually supposed to work. There's male and female horses. Some people think it's a better idea to separate them, but in a real natural situation, there's both male and female. One of the other things that can happen to horses that somehow do make it out to a good home after being in a PMU facility is they will have kidney problems. Colic is another likely thing that can happen to them even while they're at the facilities. Horses, unlike a lot of other animals, are not able to throw up, which is extremely unfortunate and seems funny that would be unfortunate. But especially when they're in the tie stalls, they're not able to move. And one of the things that is very important to a horse's digestive system is being able to move and eat just about constantly. 18 to 20 hours out of a day is ideal. Most people feed their horses twice a day, so we already kind of mess with their digestive system a lot. But they're supposed to, for their body, be able to move and help the food flow through their gut. And when they don't move, they tie up and colic likely happens. And a lot of times that can be fatal in horses. And if not fatal, a very, very expensive vet bill and surgery, which you can imagine at a PMU facility, they're not going to bother going through with that because the animal is not that important to them. So I have, I've talked about PMU mares, what they are, what they're used for, and hopefully how we can change it is by educating our friends and our family, because if you're a female, you could at some point in your life be prescribed a female hormone replacement, as well as someone you know. It's likely you would know someone who is prescribed that. And Premarin is the number one most prescribed female hormone replacement therapy. And I know on the packaging for it and on their website, it is extremely hard to find what is in it and what it's made up of. I think the only thing I could find was on a picture of the packaging for the actual product. It said equine derived ingredients. And a lot of even doctors I've talked to are not really educated on what the product is made up of. So I think that definitely trying to get the word around, telling people you know, or even just knowing for yourself that if you are ever prescribed that or someone else, that maybe you'll think twice, think about these poor animals in these facilities, and take the synthetic or the plant-based alternative, because it's not going to harm you at all, and it's going to make a lot of horses very happy. The other side of this too is I've read a lot of blogs really from people from the other perspective of the PMU facilities, people who believe that the owners of these facilities really do care about the horses and that they just think the need for the hormone replacement is more important than the welfare of the animals. Also, that a lot of them think that their facility and the way that those animals are treated is humane. I obviously disagree and think that a horse being pregnant for 11 years of their life and then basically being garbage is not the humane treatment for them. But there is that side of it that some people really do think that the hormone replacement is a much more important aspect of it rather than the treatment of the horses. So, in conclusion, I hope that anyone who's listening will think twice if you're ever prescribed Premarin, and you'll take the alternative and hopefully put these places out of business and horses in better homes. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. And welcome back to our last segment on Behind the Bit. This segment will be about current equine news and upcoming events. So first I have some news in all of a bunch of different disciplines. The first is in reining. The final qualifying event for riders to advance to the U.S. team selection trial for the U.S. reining team for the 2014 World Equestrian Games is tied for first place to make it onto the team. Sharing the podium would be Jason Vandlingham of Texas, who scored a 71. And he owns Roseanne Sternberg. Owned by Roseanne Sternberg, as well as Josh Bisher, who is riding Magnum with a Dream with a matching score. As for vaulting, which is the gymnastics on horseback, Kimberly and Cassidy Palmer, who are both out of Half Moon Bay and our sisters, closed out the 2014 FEI World Cup vaulting final in fourth place in the Pas de Deux Championship in the second round on Saturday. The Palmers made history over the weekend as Pas de Deux champion was held for the first time ever in the finals, which were hosted in France. And their overall score was a 7.606, which was less than 0.3 of a point behind the third place. So congratulations to them, and they're local here. They're out of Half Moon Bay. And as for Hunter Jumper, the top riders from across the nation gathered at Wellington on Friday for the Hunter Derby Days, where the $15,000 USHJA featured Jersey Boy with Jennifer Alfonso right in the top ranks. As for eventing, Mazzoni named eventing show coach for the Land Rover U.S. eventing team. And also an upcoming event, if anybody knows Novato Horsemen's, which is in Novato, they have been a part of Marin County since 1942. And were incorporated in 1945. And they were the co-sponsor of Novato's original Western Weekend Parade and Rodeo, which was held up until 1978. And they've got some really cool posters in the clubhouse of it. The club is currently one of the largest horseman associations in California. I believe San Francisco is also one of the largest as well. The club consists of over 300 senior and junior members from five of the surrounding Northern Bay areas. And they hold a bunch of really cool events, cattle events, trail rides, and a bunch of social events that are always a lot of fun. You could be a horse owner or not. Most of the activities are open to all community members. And you can go watch some really cool stuff. We actually did a vaulting demo there not too long ago, and it was really fun for all the kids who were there because they got to get involved and get on the barrel and try it out. And I think it was a lot of fun for everyone. But Novato Junior Horsemen's is putting on a crab fest on Saturday the 15th, which would be this upcoming Saturday. There you can buy tickets online. on their website, which is NevadoJuniorHorsemen'sInc.com. And it is all you can eat crab, pasta, garlic bread, salad, dessert. They have an early seating at 5 p.m. and a late seating at 7:30. And I would say it's really worth going. I have been a volunteer at that event and also someone eating, and it is great food. There's a lot of great cooks there, and it's always a lot of fun. And as for some other fun facts that you may or may not have known about horses, is that they're often used for therapeutic riding programs for people with physical or mental disabilities. There is one Hallett Creek Ranch, which is in Nicosia, and they have a really cool program, and it is a lot of fun to go there and volunteer and really see the difference that it makes for a lot of people. Because anyone there can get on a horse. If there's people who are in wheelchairs who get on horses, there's actually therapeutic vaulting too. There was a kid in Southern California who had muscular dystrophy and his parents were told he wasn't going to make it until age 4. And he's 8 now, and they told him he's never going to be able to walk. He's never going to be able to communicate. And he can run by himself. He can vault by himself with minimal assistance. And it's really his story. And there's a lot of other great stories with therapeutic riding that are very inspiring. And there's a connection between people and horses that you build. And it's just really amazing all the crazy stuff it can do. And I know at Hallett Creek, they really focus on giving these people who may not have independence in their everyday life the independence to be able to get on one of these horses and take them on a trail ride in a group setting, a very safe group setting, and they're able to go and brush the horses and interact with them. And there's also another therapeutic riding program in Petaluma that's called Giant Steps, and they're another really cool therapeutic riding program that really, again, tries to bring that independence back. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that they focus a little bit more on kids and helping kids with disabilities be able to, you know, lead the horse around by themselves, which is, it's a really, I would imagine, I've seen expressions on children's faces when they get to have that independence to lead this huge, big animal on their own. And it's really amazing to see the difference it can make in someone. And of course, if anyone's interested, you can go to these places and volunteer, and they love everyone's help. And it's lots of fun with all these people out there. So today, on my show Behind the Bit, we have talked about the evolution of horses, how their teeth have grown and changed to accommodate their new diets. Their legs have become quite a bit longer than they used to be able to run from predators. And also their size, they've gone from a small dog size to very large. I also talked to you about training, how horses' personalities can make a big difference in training them, ground manners, how important they are, and how it really makes a difference if your horse has ground manners. You form that trust, that bond, and that it's a very satisfying feeling, and natural horsemanship which ties in with that. I also talked to you about PMU mares, horses that are female horses that are used to make female hormone replacement medication, and the inhumane situations that they are being kept in, and what we can do about it is educate everyone we know and use the synthetic alternative. And I have also reviewed some 2014 current standings in the equine world, and also the Crab Fest that is coming up on Saturday that everyone should go to because it's awesome food. And I also wanted to give you guys who may not know as much about horses a little insight about the name of my show, which is Behind the Bit. A bit is a metal object, all different sizes and shapes and textures even, that goes in the horse's mouth. It's connected to the bridle, which is the leather piece that is on a horse's face when you're riding them. It's a very important piece of equipment. Some people train their horses to be ridden without them, so they have other things. But most people use bits when they are riding their horses. And buying the bit, I, as an equestrian, or anyone else listening who's an equestrian, you're sitting on the saddle and one of your direct connections with your horse is the reins, which is attached to the bit. So that's how you do a lot of communicating, as well as verbally and with your physical aids as your leg and your seat. It's one of the main lines of communication when riding your horse. So being behind the bit would be my perspective as an equestrian, as well as behind my horse's bit, straight from the horse's mouth. So I hope everyone enjoyed my show today. Tune in next week on Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. for my show Behind the Bit, only on radio.dominican.edu.